This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and جزاكم الله خير for tuning in to today's Diary of a Da'i program. Today we have yet another successful da'i inshallah to share their story with you بإذن الله تعالى. Her name is Sara Sultan. She's very active in the community. She's actually a licensed mental health professional that's been serving the Muslim community all around the United States for the last 10 years, mashallah, with her experience and with her professionalism. She has a lot of videos out there, a lot of articles out there that are very, very beneficial, subhanAllah. When I was preparing for this program, I was actually looking through some of these articles that I never read, and I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe I never read this before. Alhamdulillah, for the past night, and I'm sure for the next couple weeks, I'm going to be reading a lot of her articles and listening to a lot of her lectures, inshallah. But today, for those of you that don't know her, I want to introduce her to you. She's also a teacher in Mishkeh University, and she gives a lot of workshops all around the United States, a resident of Houston, Texas. Sister Sara Sultan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan for having me.
Jazana wa yakum. Hayakum Allah. How are you feeling today? Joel, are you ready for this interview?
I'm ready. I'm feeling good, alhamdulillah.
Make it action-packed, inshallah ta'ala, and make it, we're going to try to make it tangible. I know you work with youth specifically, right?
I used to do a lot of work with youth, alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar. That's perfect. So that means you are the perfect fit for this program. Jazakum Allah khair for accepting this invite. And now to kick it off, I just want to ask you a question. And this is what I often ask my interviewees usually. What inspired you to do what you're doing, to do mental health counseling?
So great question, mashallah. So actually, it's funny. When I was first in college, I started off on a pre-med track, like I think so many Muslims end up doing, right? Because their parents all want them to be doctors. But I started off pre-med, alhamdulillah, and was taking my courses, and I did an internship in a hospital. I was in an ICU. And I realized that the fit wasn't there for me, you know, where, you know, patients would pass away and then you'd go on to the next patient. And it just wasn't a good fit for who I was or my personality. And I realized that I wanted to get to know the people that I was working with on a deeper level. And so I decided to focus in on psychology, but I was going to do psychological research. And then there were a few incidents in my local Muslim community that made me realize how important it would be to have a Muslim mental health professional available to provide counseling from a more like Islamic framework and somebody who could understand the culture and the religion and all of these different things. And so that actually made me decide to go forward and pursue the counseling field. And I'm really thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding me down that path. It's not the one that I would have originally picked for myself, but it worked out really well, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. And we see the difference you're making to a lot of Muslim communities. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you and increase of your likes in our communities. But subhanAllah, you know, a lot of our youth go through this dilemma. You know, they're studying something and their parents are very excited that they're in pre-med and that they're going to be doctors or surgeons or whatnot. And I'm sure it was a challenge to, you know, express this to your family. Were they supportive of this when you made this change or no?
Yeah, so I'm really fortunate in my parents, alhamdulillah. I really am. I know that a lot of kids out there don't have that same experience that I had. But my parents were very much like, they wanted me to do something that would be enjoyable, something that I would be passionate about, but also something that would be beneficial. So that was one of the things that they just really wanted it to be something beneficial, but they wanted it to be something that would be a good fit for me personally. So they were encouraging when I made the switch. They didn't give me a hard time, alhamdulillah, which I was grateful for.
Of course, you know, the term you used, beneficial, it's very relative, but when you apply it to like the Islamic context, when you say beneficial, in terms of like beneficial to the Muslims, to everyone in general, and like to Muslims specifically, and I'm sure that incident that you spoke about was specific in like the Muslim context, right? You saw the need in the Muslim community, and there is a great need, of course, and we and everybody can see this. But now to tie it into the actual subject of this program, which is da'wah, do you see this profession as a means, an effective means of da'wah, or no?
No, absolutely, alhamdulillah. You know, one of the couple of incidents that I had experienced that led me into this field were kind of eye-openers, right, where I realized all of the Muslim community in general has this idea that Muslims, especially practicing Muslims, can't be depressed, can't experience suicidal thoughts, can't struggle mentally or emotionally. There's this misconception. And when my eyes opened to the fact that some of the most practicing Muslims that I had ever met were really struggling with this, it really made me realize the profound impact that mental health can have on a person's faith. Because what happens is that when we struggle mentally and emotionally, it naturally will impact us spiritually. And so through this, you know, we have the ability through improving our mental health, improving mental wellness, dealing with traumatic experiences and healing them, a lot of times that can start to heal us spiritually as well, alhamdulillah. And then the other part of it too is that when, you know, I went to, I'm originally from New York. I went to Brooklyn College. I did my degree there and everything. And one of the things that I realized in being in this field is it's a form of da'wah to Muslims in that, okay, we can address these issues within the Muslim community, but also even to non-Muslims by being in a field that's a little bit different, by being able to empathize and being able to really understand people in general. That in and of itself really opens people's eyes to Muslimin and Islam in a different way. And when I've worked with non-Muslim clients, you know, I used to work with teenagers a lot. That was, you know, one of my first jobs is I worked with teens in crisis who really were struggling a lot. And whenever I'd walk in and say, hey, I'm your therapist, you know, with like my hijab and everything, they'd be like, what's this woman going to know about me? Like, how's she going to get me? You know, but by the end, you know, I would always ask, hey, when I first walked into the room, what did you think? Right. And then what do you think now? You know, and they realize that they can connect with somebody who's a little bit different than them. Wow. And it was a very powerful experience, alhamdulillah.
It's so beautiful. That's actually amazing, subhanAllah, and a great form of da'wah, because you'd find that like a lot of patients have these preconceived notions about women with hijab and the way they are and the way they think based on what they know of the culture they came from. And they think hijab is specific to certain cultures. And then they come and meet this person who's wearing a hijab, who's actually down to earth and can understand them. And not only understand them, but help them in their lives. So subhanAllah, I'm sure it's a great, great form of da'wah. And I'm looking forward. Well, I really want to see a lot of Muslim sisters specifically, and Muslims in general, take on this profession, bi'idhnillah, because we're really in need of it. And I'm sure right now, like, you spoke about it in general, but now I want you to speak about a specific situation. You've been doing this for 10 years, you have a lot of experience. Do you have like a successful story of da'wah? And you spoke and you alluded to, you kind of mentioned how mental well-being and mental health kind of intertwines with spiritual health and well-being, right? Do you have any stories where somebody came in with a mental health problem and a spiritual problem, and then when they finished, they grew spiritually, they got better, and they improved, alhamdulillah, all across the board?
No, absolutely. It's one of it's one of the, like, a real blessing and a privilege that I've had in my life, alhamdulillah, to be I love the work that I do with my clients, and I love my clients. They're amazing people. The strength that they show me every day is an inspiration, subhanAllah. And so, alhamdulillah, I've seen so many of these transformations, but it never ceases to surprise me or move me, subhanAllah. So there are a couple of clients in particular that come to mind, but one had been really struggling. She had a very, very traumatic past. She had endured a lot of abuse in her childhood, including sexual abuse, which is a very, very difficult experience, one of the hardest that a person can really go through. And, you know, her family wasn't really practicing. She wasn't practicing in terms of like Islam. She identified as Muslim. But as she was going through this and as she started to grow and mature and progressed in her life, was, you know, starting her career and things like that, she realized that she was really, really struggling. Her anxiety levels were through the roof. She was having panic attacks a lot. Her depression was really increasing, so she started to experience a lot of suicidal thoughts as well. And she realized that, okay, well, I need to do something. And so she did, you know, she started to actually turn back to Islam in that circumstance, right? She started to look up lectures and she found some solace in it. But she realized that she had a lot of ups and downs, you know. So when, you know, when she would have the downs, you know, when she would get anxious or depressed, she realized, okay, I would stop praying. I would stop listening to Quran. I would stop doing all of these things. And like, I was feeling a little bit better, but not enough. And so, and so she started therapy and we started working together. And little by little, as she started doing the work and as she started on this like journey of healing, she started to build connections to realize, okay, when I am, you know, when I'm feeling this, you know, these really negative feelings, I'm pushing myself away from something that's actually in the end going to make me feel better. I'm pushing myself away from salah. I'm pushing myself away from the things that are going to help. And once she started to create that association, and once she started to heal the trauma that she had gone through, and she talked through it, and we used therapy to help her through that, then she started to have like that firmer connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She started to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better. She started to learn about his mercy, not just his punishment, about his love. Beautiful. And, you know, and all of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ways that that would make her feel closer to him. And through that, little by little, her firmness in her deen started to increase as well, with the healing and the firmness and like emotional wellness that she was working on too.
MashaAllah. And you can see how they're both intertwined, subhanAllah. How she would like kind of get away from salah and reading Quran and ibadah in general because of the depression and the bad thoughts that she was getting. But as soon as she overcame that, and obviously it was like salah and dhikr and Quran was part of her overcoming that, right? But she needed to, I guess, to develop the resilience, the strength within herself to like overcome these thoughts, so her mind can be free when she prays and when she reads the Quran, does dhikr, so she could actually connect to Allah. It's as if these bad thoughts and whatnot were coming between her and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right. It's almost like this wall that gets built, right? Where it's like, unless you can start to tear down the wall, even just a small hole is the starting point that allows you to start to rebuild that connection, and realizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful, right? So you start building that small hole, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, you come to me walking and I'll come to you running. Mm-hmm. So you build that small hole and he will help you crush the rest of the wall, inshallah. And that's what she was doing. I think a lot of times that, you know, we have this expectation that, okay, salah is going to help right away, right? But it requires consistency, and sometimes that wall might be there and you need to dig through it a little bit for that connection through salah to actually start to feel it and to start to help.
Of course. Yeah, well, the salah has to wash out what's inside us before it actually starts filling us with the good, the khair, yani that will inshallah turn into good amal salih later on. Or good actions, righteous deeds. But now, inshallah, wrapping up, this is the last question for today. I don't want to take more of your time. Your time is very valuable, and I know you're a counselor. There are a lot of people out there that need you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, Sister Sara. What advice, and this is the last piece of advice, you know, purpose of life is something that a lot of our youth are thinking of, right? What's my purpose in life? What am I here for? What do I need to be doing right now? So what advice would you give Muslims regarding finding their purpose of life and kind of tying that with what they have a passion for, what they love, what they're interested in?
Great question, mashallah. So, you know, when it comes to purpose, you know, Islamically we have like this, you know, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He created mankind and jinn to worship Him, right? So we know that our ultimate purpose is worship. But a lot of times what people forget is that worship can be in so many different forms. There's the required form, right? Salah and all of these different things. But there's so many different ways, you know? So for whatever you find, one question I tend to ask, you know, your passion, the path that you take in life should be a way of showing your identity, right? Like the core of your identity being a Muslim, but also the other parts of your identity. What things have you read or done or where you feel most uplifted? What things have you done that make you feel most connected to the people that you care about, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to, you know, what makes you feel most whole and most fulfilled, right? And then taking that information, right, and making it into the path that you want to follow by setting an intention that you can do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, you know, if you, whatever your passion is, my passion was psychology, right? When I intend to do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that becomes an act of worship for me, right? My role as, I'm a mom of two young kids who are like watching something right now so I can do this. But you know, my role as a mom can be an act of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if I make that my intention. So whatever role you want to accomplish in life, if you intend it, right, it doesn't mean that you have to take, you know, you whatever you're passionate about, you can transform it into a way of worshiping and pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar. And that's a beautiful piece of advice, Sister Sara. Wallahi, it's amazing to end with it because it's usually the hadith that all of the scholars begin their books with. The hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. Actions are by intentions, and for every person is what they intended, right? So, subhanallah al-khalaq, if we, and this is an opportunity given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just, I think if we kind of connect everything that we do to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything that we have a passion for, everything that occupies our time, and just renew our intention and make it fi sabilillah, make it for the sake of Allah, we're going to get ajr for it. And not only that, but we're going to enjoy it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who placed this passion for you in your heart. You would have been born not liking this, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you like this thing. And by doing it and remembering Allah, you're thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He put inside of you from passion for this particular thing. You could have liked something that's haram, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you like something that's halal. You could have been good at something that's haram, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you good at something that's halal. This is a great ni'mah. You know, and we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by remembering Him. And this way we can convert what we always do into ibadah, right? Can also be video games, by the way, because a lot of the guys are just sitting home right now, you know, playing video games.
Well, you know, that's a good question. Just from a counselor perspective, be careful of how much video games you play. You don't want to get addicted, right? But even video games, subhanAllah, you know, like if you think about video game, people who create video games and them channeling that passion for playing into creating video games. Imagine if there was like a video game that had some sort of an Islamic history theme, you know, that, you know, you're going through different levels and but you're learning about Islamic history at the same time, or, you know, something that can captivate children, you know, to learn, you know, about Islam, or even memorizing Quran. I don't know, if somebody should think of, you know, create
or something beneficial
types
in general
of things.
Yeah, something just beneficial to them, you know? Something that just that gives them general knowledge and understanding of the world around them. If they put their intention, they make their intention right, and they make it fi sabilillah, so they can learn it and benefit other Muslims with this knowledge. Inshallah, this is all beneficial in your skills, inshallah. And with this, I want to thank Sister Sara, for joining us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. You really, by shedding all this knowledge on us, I'm sure a lot of our youth here and all over the world that are listening to us here at Epic Masjid on our channel. We have over 100,000 subscribers. If you didn't subscribe yet, please do subscribe, inshallah, because we have these beneficial programs coming up, inshallah. This particular program every week, but we have other programs for the younger youth and for the older youth. Stay tuned on our channel. Follow us on Facebook, on Instagram. We have a lot of programs coming at your way, inshallah ta'ala. Sister Sara, one last time, I want to thank you for joining us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. And would you mind joining us for other programs if, our audience requests?
Well, Jazakumullah khairan. It's been a privilege to be here with you. And yes, I'd love to, inshallah. I love doing anything like with the youth, and it makes me feel younger. So why not? I'd be happy to do it, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan. I'm sure all the youth appreciate it as well, and everyone that's tuning in with us. And with this, we're going to end this episode. Jazakumullah khair. Stay tuned for our next episodes of The Diary of a Da'i. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. See you next time.
قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين.